This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
The good Lord split it. Hands up, witness all a couple of Holy Spirit. Something wicked, speaking in tongues in my blood red lipstick. I'm up and up in my Sunday best. No, I can shame cause I love this dress. Don't think I can judge this holy mess. Yeah.
The good Lord split it.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's shake what the good Lord gave us.
Oh, yes, baby.
Come on, let's go. Oh, dang, this dash. Beat like this, wanna shake my
own.
Hello and welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today I am joined by British pop singing sensation.
Oh goodness. Shush.
Jamie Hanna.
Shush.
How are you doing, Jamie?
I'm doing good. This room is lovely and cold.
Isn't it? Perfect. It's just lovely. That's all you want in October, isn't it? To be cold.
I love a cold room.
So let's talk a little bit about you, because I feel like you're making a little bit of a name for yourself.
Am I?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, shush.
Okay. Well, I say making. I feel like you've already made a name for yourself.
You're very kind. Baby steps, huh? Baby steps. Yeah, I don't know. You just kind of like day by day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Oh, you're suddenly a superstar.
So tell me, walk me through everything you're doing right now. So obviously you make music.
I do indeed. So initially I was trained in opera, but I pulled out of that, and then I started to make music for about a year. I've released two singles. One of them was a duet with Boy George, and then we kind of went on this massive spiral whirlwind of a journey together, did a couple of shows together, and now kind of just making my own music and trying to kind of like create a sound for myself and an identity for myself without the magnificent George.
That's incredible, and I love that, you know, we're like 2 minutes into the show and you just casually say, oh yeah, you know, just did a song with Boy George. No big deal.
Ugh, goodness, somebody give me a slap.
I want to go back a little bit. So you trained in opera?
Yes, initially.
That's insane. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was a bit of a weird one for me as well. I feel like I actually was reflecting on it earlier today on my Instagram, and I was listening to some countertenors, like some arias, because I was getting incredibly stressed with like 300 emails on my computer, and I was kind of like, I just didn't want to meditate. I didn't want to kind of like breathe. I just was like, what is going to calm me down? And actually going onto YouTube and listening to some of like Handel's arias and just countertenors, which I've been familiar with during my studies, kind of like brought me back down to earth, and it was really, it was stunning. Oh.
It must be really kind of helpful and beneficial to kind of have all of that knowledge around music, because I'm not saying that, you know, every musician doesn't know music and doesn't know the ins and outs of it, but I think it's it adds a little something special, I would say.
Well, I mean, everybody's got their USP, so I guess that is my USP, I guess. But I mean, a lot of people have been trained in music, but I mean, it's not always good to know the rules. That's why I kind of wanted to leave classical music, because there were so many rules and regulations. You were like, actually, it's not it's
Yeah, like, fuck the rules.
Yeah. I remember, like, singing lessons, they would say to kind of, like, do an R vowel, but think an F vowel.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you would always be, like, in this dilemma, like, you know what, fuck it, I just want to do my own rules and do my own thing, so that's what I'm going to do.
I think sometimes, you know, you got to learn the rules so you can effectively break them. And I feel like everything you're doing right now, Jamie, you are effectively breaking the rules.
Oh, God, it's like Miley Cyrus.
let's talk about Boy George, because that is incredible. You say it so casually, and like that's no big deal, but like that's pretty huge. Like, how did that even come to be?
Goodness. So I was working with a producer in St. Paul's at the time, and we'd done a number of tracks together.
Yeah.
And George and himself were good friends, and they kind of sent through my first single across to him. George really loved it. He was across in the States at the time doing a comeback tour, and we started sending some stems across the ocean. It was all terribly dramatic. And so we had about a roster of about 3 or 4 songs, and then Show's House of Truth, and then kind of went on from there. It was a long slaughter. Believe me, he's an incredible to work with, but he's a very busy man.
I can imagine he has an awful lot going on.
Yeah, most definitely.
And how do you kind of, like, obviously, you know, you make music because you have a passion for it, but is there, like, any kind of, like, messages you want to get out there? Is there, like, what sits at the heart of what you're trying to get out across and out there to the world?
I feel like when you write music, it's every song is different, and you can be subject to so many different opinions when you release your music, but as long as you're making music that makes you happy, there's not kind of like a strong, consistent, like, moral or theme that runs throughout all my music, because it kind of depends on how I'm feeling on the day when I'm writing that song.
Yeah.
But I feel like I would like to say that I would represent kind of, I don't know, like freedom and just like happiness. I want people to feel like happy when they're listening to my music. I don't want them to kind of like feel down, or I mean, it's okay to feel down, but I don't want them to feel like the music is making them feel down. I also use pronouns like him and him and stuff like that, so it's always kind of like gay promo. What's gay promo? What am I going on about?
Yeah. But kind of like, gay promo.
Gay promo.
Promo of the gays.
Promo of the gays. Don't we love it?
But I feel like, you know, like I do feel like there's almost like this. We're getting a lot more kind of LGBT plus artists coming forward now, and, you know, singing with same sex pronouns, etc. But, you know, if we jump back just a few years in time, that was something that you pretty
dare.
Much never heard of. And you even had some like out gay musicians still using
she. I think I was even doing that when I was writing it my first couple of
years. Yeah.
I was like, and mom and dad, I'm straight.
I feel like it was the done thing. So like I do feel like we're still in the early days of that being a thing. So I think it's amazing that
you're just
being
an advocate of it and just kind of like standing in solidarity with everybody. It's not like you're competing with them.
Yeah,
there's enough people on the planet to go around.
Exactly. I do hear like a lot of stories from, you know, people who are out in the music industry have said that, you know, people have tried to repress them from doing so, and you know, tried to bury their identity and keep it a secret.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I mean, I've been advised as well not to be kind of, it's not pigeonholing, but kind of like to be associated with the LGBT scene could pigeonhole you. But it's like, if it's part of your identity, like, I've got blonde hair, maybe there's a blonde hair group, you know what I mean? Like, pigeonholing myself down the blonde hair route as well. Like, it's kind of like so menial.
Yeah, and I do feel like we are starting to gradually move away from that now. You know, an LGBT artist is just an artist who happens to be LGBT. And yes, maybe they are getting a positive message out there and being a role model for LGBT people. But at the end of the day, it's just about the music.
You'd hope.
You would hope. So we are going to be playing a new cover of yours of Bad Romance here, which I was going to say this morning. It's not the morning, Callum. Where are you?
It can be the morning.
Tell me about why you wanted to cover Bad Romance specifically.
So it's actually the 10th anniversary of Lady Gaga releasing this track, and she was the first major artist that I saw perform live. She was supporting Take That at Wembley Stadium in like 2004, 2005, and I was literally just spellbound. I was mesmerized how she could literally captivate an 80,000 man audience, yeah, and women audience and anything audience, with just a grand piano and herself and her voice, which was just, it's kind of Ed Sheeran kind of vibe, but she was so much younger, and it was very surreal. And that was kind of like, I look back on that now as kind of like a pivotal moment in my musical career with like contemporary music, where I was kind of like, I want to do something like that. So I felt like it was a bit of like a homage to Lady Gaga. I felt I kind of wanted to kind of say, I mean, it's so fucking pretentious, thank you. But I was kind of like, I want to do something that kind of like, she has got the most incredible ability to be able to switch between so many different genres.
Yeah.
Which I'd like to think I'm fortunate enough to be able to do too, because of my classical upbringing.
Yeah.
So I feel like I wanted to kind of like dissect what is a massive Grammy award winning song and kind of bring it back to its raw narrative, which is just basically about sexual tension and loneliness, which is what I relate to as well. Mm-hmm. So like, why not kind of bring in my friends, which I did, from the Royal College of Music, and we got the strings in together, double track them, sound like a fucking orchestra. just made it kind of like cinematic, but very me, and I'm something I'm very, very proud of. And I really feel like this song is a big turning point musically for me, and I'm very excited for people to hear it.
It's so lovely to hear that, and I think often Gaga doesn't get quite enough credit. I know she's this huge superstar who's like critically acclaimed, etc.
Who's Gaga?
But I do feel like people don't give her credit for how talented she is, and how she really does, you know, sweep all those different genres.
And the album she did with like Tony Bennett, that went completely under the radar for most people, but yeah, remarkable how she can just switch. I mean, if you ask a classical singer, there's none listening at RCM, to sing some Adele, I'm sure they probably couldn't do it. Right. So being able to switch from either genre is just phenomenal, and like, she just did it so seamlessly. She's fucking remarkable.
She is, and I feel like she herself is she's an LGBT plus icon.
Yeah.
And I feel like she means so much to so many LGBT plus people out there, which is incredible.
You can just go to one of her concerts and just kind of see the energy, and you know, you feel it just. And the spirit of all the people that are watching her is remarkable. Yeah, I keep saying remarkable. It's very remarkable.
Are there any other artists you feel have kind of influenced your journey? Obviously, there's Lady Gaga, there's Boy George. Is there anyone else who you feel like has had a massive impact on you and everything you're doing?
You know what? Probably Take That as well. No, I feel like my musical influence is very eclectic, just because of the classical upbringing, which I initially was kind of like adverse. I wasn't kind of too happy being associated with it, because it was kind of uncool at school.
Okay.
But I'm making classical cool again. Yeah. But I guess, like, I mean, obviously, like, Handel and, like, Monteverdi and some of his stuff, Gaga, Boy George, Anthony and the Johnsons, Elton John, like, musical theatre as well is phenomenal. Like, Hamilton, like...
I'm obsessed with musical theatre. Literally, like...
Lin-Manuel Miranda. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. If he could, like, just sing me a lullaby.
I mean, he did the Moana soundtrack. That's why I adore him.
Yeah. Jaw dropped. My jaw just dropped.
Just Moana. That's what I'm here for.
Have you seen Hamilton?
I haven't. I'm very behind the trend.
I'll go book your ticket.
I need to go and see it.
Later this morning when you get home.
Like, I've listened to the soundtrack to death. But, you know, I've not actually gone to see it.
There's this moment in the first opening song where everyone comes up to the front of the stage and they're, like, holding hands and they're, like, in, like, 10-part harmony. And I'm just like, oh, my God!
But we're not here to talk about other people's music. We're here to talk about...
Jamie Hannah,
because you are indeed the best. I think we're going to jump in and play your latest cover, which I believe this is the first time it's been played
it
on the radio.
It is. First time anyone's hearing it.
There you go. Exclusive. FUBAR Radio. This is Bad Romance. Jamie Hannah.
I want your ugly, I want your disease. I want your everything as long as it's free. I want your drama, the touch of your hand. I want your leather-studded kiss in the sand. I want your love. Love. Cause you're a criminal.
but it gon' stick. On you in my rear window, baby, you're sick. I want your love, 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 love. I want your love, yeah, yeah. I want your love. Oh, love, love, love. I want your love. I want your love, and I want your revenge. You and me could write a bad romance. I want your love, all your love is revenge. You and me could write a bad romance. Cause you're a criminal as long as you're mine. I want your psycho, your vertigo stick. Want you in my rear window, baby, you're sick. I want your love, love.
Jamie, that was stunning. That was my first time hearing that, and that was absolutely amazing. I'm imagining, like, what is it like seeing you perform? Like, well, obviously you've not seen yourself, but I just imagine it feels like it would be a very grandiose spectacle. Would that be fair to say? No.
No, I stand there like a lemon. Where's my lemon outfit? I'll dress as a pear for the next one. I don't know. I guess it's quite grand. I feel I love having strings. I love making it as kind of like classical as possible, but kind of still pop.
Yeah.
Got like a drummer, pads, two BVs, just kind of like collectively jamming out together like a normal band would. But I don't know, with the Jamie Hanna touch.
I do feel like you really transformed that version of Bad Romance. Oh, and that's lovely
kind.
To see. You know, I think sometimes we see covers and they can be kind of carbon copy. Whereas that felt like it was a completely different song while still playing homage to the original. Oh. Which is everything
homage.
You want.
Isn't it a phenomenal
all you
word?
Want to do.
It's like fromage. We all love cheese.
We're going to play a game. This is, have you ever been speed dating?
No,
never. I've never done like actual speed dating either. It kind of terrifies me a little bit to try and like get yourself across in such a short period of time.
Oh goodness, here we go.
Yeah, here we go. So this game is going to be in three rounds.
Look at me, my mouth is getting dry already.
It's okay. You're in safe hands here. No, Fubar. So in the first round, we're going to take 30 seconds each to try and sell ourselves. So this is our pitch to each other. To try and convince the other person that we are the ideal mate. How are you feeling about that? You seem nervous.
Let's go.
Let's go. Do you want to go first?
No, you can test the waters a little bit.
Oh,
you go
God.
First.
Okay. Oh, I don't even know what I'm going to say. So you can press this button, number 5, right here.
Mm-hmm.
And that will start the timer. And that is when I will begin trying to...
God, I'm nervous for you,
I don't even
friend.
Know what I am. Oh, I'm like, my head is going and I'm like, what on earth am I going to say
about myself? I've just run 100 metres. My heart is going fast.
Okay, you can press it. You can press it. I'm ready.
Number
I'm ready.
Five, okay,
yes,
ready?
Number 5. Yeah, go.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so I am a very adventurous person. I am always up for fun and a good time. I'm a yes person. So if you say, do you want to do this like really out there crazy thing, 9 times out of 10, I'll say absolutely yes, I want to do that with you. Whether that's something cute and romantic or like an adventure or something of a little bit naughty, like I'm fully on board and I'm nice and I'll treat you really well.
Thank goodness you're nice, my friend. Should be more nice people in this world.
It's a really terrifying experience.
God.
And the countdown.
Did you
theme,
get to see the numbers as well? God, I would hate to see numbers.
I can see see the numbers ticking down.
On the way over here on the tube, somebody was picking their nose and it was that kind of vibe. I was like, okay, sorry. I am totally ready for this.
Are you ready? Okay.
No, not ready.
Do you want to push the button yourself? You can start yourself okay. in.
All I can think of is I still bite my nails, but that's not what's me. Okay, here we go, my friends.
Go.
Okay, so I'm a singer. Everybody loves singers. I'm a musician. Everybody loves musicians. I'm beautiful. I'm 6'2". I'm kind of skinny. I go to the gym. I got beautiful blue eyes that glisten when I go by the sea.
Oh, my God.
I still suck my thumb, and I also bite my nails. And sometimes I paint them to stop me biting them. But then actually, I kind of keep biting them because they look kind of pretty. What else do I like? I love dogs. I used to have 2 dogs. Now I've only got 1 dog because... Well, actually, both of them died, and then I've got one. I'm nice as well. I love being nice. I love sarcasm, and I like good teeth.
That was amazing. I feel like you got all your, like, selling points in there so quickly.
I'm beautiful.
All I said was I'm really adventurous, and I'm nice, and you're like, I'm 6'4",
well,
I've got dogs, 2 of the dogs are dead.
These are crucial. That information was imperative.
You got across a lot of information.
Well, I mean, my friend, adventurous and nice are very lovely adjectives as well, so I would actually go with you over me because I just sound like an arrogant tosser.
You said you were tall and you go to the gym and you've got nice teeth. These are
but
things...
I'm behind a microphone, nobody can see me.
Exactly, you need to get that information across.
Oh my God, yeah, of course. Okay. Divine.
Okay, so round 2, we're doing a haunted house of truth. See what we did there?
Oh, hilarious.
House of truth, that's your music.
There. It is my music. Well, actually, it's George's music, but yes, that's very exciting.
So in this haunted house of truth, we've got some Halloween-themed questions, and they're going to put the lovely producers are going to put us on the spot, and we have to answer these questions truthfully. I have not seen them either, so I'm hoping they're going to play nice and not throw me under the bus here, which that's all they do every week on this show is try to throw me under the bus. So I'm sure that's going to happen. I think I'm ready for my questions.
You're going first. Okay, good.
I guess I'm going first.
That worked well last time.
Are you ready for your questions, Jamie?
We'll see.
I'm asking for questions and no questions are materializing. Okay, there we go. I've got the questions. Okay, so it's a question and we're both going to have to answer it.
Okay,
so the first one
at the
is,
same time.
No, I think we'll take it in turns.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
When was the last time you peed your pants? For me, I must have, like a little kid.
Yeah.
I don't think, though I have had those moments where like...
A little dribble.
And it's usually, like sometimes you go, as a boy, sometimes you go for a pee and then you like finish and like you shake it out and you think it's empty.
Oh my God, I thought that was only
and then you go to put it back and it's like, nope, there was a little bit left. And it's really
gross.
That's
so reassuring. I thought that was only me that had that.
I'm pretty sure that happens to everyone. But I don't think that counts. That's just a little splash,
dribble, yeah.
little dribble.
It doesn't leave a stain or anything.
When was the last time you peed your pants?
Probably the same, my friend. Probably, I can't remember. So probably very, very long time ago. But as I say, on par with you in the little dribble spectrum.
Little dribble. I don't actually ever remember peeing my pants, but I'm sure I did it as a small child. But I have no memory of that ever happening.
Like, many times, probably.
I don't know what that feels like.
I just got back from Corfu. And I was there last week and I was yeah, every time you need to pee and there's no toilet nearby, you just write, there's the sea, so just go in there. So that's probably the closest to it. So
oh, yeah,
I was like peeing in my swim shorts.
But yeah, but I do that now. Like, okay. I did that like 2 weeks ago.
Divine. Well, I just caught you up. You must have peed in your swim shorts.
It's not pants.
He's lying on
difference.
His show.
It's difference. Do we have more questions? Yes, we do. Okay, next question. What's your best Halloween party love story?
Oh, I have a cute one.
Please.
I may have said this on the show before. I was dressed as Spider-Man and he was dressed as Woody from Toy Story. And like, he was the most beautiful boy in the world. And I was like, that boy right there, I'm going to marry him. So I approached him. He came home with me and we thought it was going to be a one night stand. But then we ended up dating for like 4 months. Didn't work out in the end, but. But the adorable thing was we got like matching Spider-Man and Woody onesies about 2 months in because that was how
we met.
Yeah. It was all very...
My heart. But I tell you, in comparison, mine is... I don't think I've even got a love story. Not even in a Halloween one. Not even an Easter Bunny one. Not
an Easter Bunny love story. Not a Christmas love story.
Not a Tooth Fairy love story, no.
I need some kind of Halloween party story then. It doesn't have to be a love story.
Halloween party story.
Something outrageous. Something... Have you ever been to a Halloween party, Jamie?
What is Halloween? Honestly, what is it? I dressed up as a fairy once.
Oh, that's cute. Was it a slutty fairy or like a regular fairy?
I haven't actually dressed up as a fairy. I'm just trying to think of a Halloween party. I really have been to so many, but I just...
It really doesn't sound like it. So it sounds like you've never been to a party.
To be honest, I can really count my friends on like one hand.
I genuinely see that as goals though. Like 5 solid friends who you really love and care about.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than like 600 people you don't know.
Exactly. But I mean, you might be invited to more Halloween parties and you might be having more stories when you go on a radio program.
It's okay. We can pass. Okay. Who is the sexiest horror villain? Ooh, I feel like there's... Oh, I don't know. Oof. I feel like there's... I'm struggling to think of any that I would have sex with, but I feel like there must be sexy horror.
Is Superman a villain?
No, he's the hero.
Okay.
He's the hero of the day. I don't know. I was going to say Freddy Krueger, but absolutely not. Something about the claws, perhaps. Yeah, a little Jason with his mask.
I'm actually going to completely put my hands up here. I don't actually know many villains.
Just the heroes.
Yeah, just the heroes. I don't associate myself with villains.
I tell you who I do enjoy, though. In Nightmare on Elm Street, there's a scene where he's in the little crop top just before he gets murdered. And that scene is everything.
Did it make you dribble a little bit?
It made me have a little dribble,
so
yeah.
That was the last time you peed your pants.
That was the last time I peed my pants when watching Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah, I don't know. I'm really struggling to think of any sexy horror villains. I'm sure there are many, but off the top of my head, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, we are moving on to round 3. So this is a question. This is a scenario for both of us. You're going on a first date on Halloween. You and this guy are going to a themed bar and we'll see where the night takes you. You've discussed dressing up, but not the specifics. What do you wear? How slutty do you go? How spooky do you go? I feel like it's... I feel like I would... I always go pretty slutty for Halloween.
Yeah, I
do.
I'm going to
put my hands
well.
Up and say like...
Lots of skin. Lots of skin out.
Lots of skin. As much skin as possible.
Yeah.
So I would, I don't know, like caveman or something.
It's also kind of like those last days of summer, you know, October the 31st. We're all kind of still thinking it's summer, but it's not. So just keep the skin out. And
keep
like,
the skin out.
Remain optimistic.
Yeah. Like we can shiver for one night a year.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine.
I mean, and you know what? Shivering, then somebody might come give us a hug.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's everything I want, a hug. That's my Halloween dream right
come
there.
Touch me.
Any ideas what you would dress as on this date?
Goodness, I dressed up as an emperor once, which was quite fun. And I had like this like oriental Chinese jacket, but he was dead, which
Ooh,
was quite good fun.
Okay. I do have like my one thing about Halloween is you can dress up as anything you like and go as slutty as you like, but I want to see some scary.
Yeah.
I want a little bit of scary.
Like fake blood, my friends.
Yeah. Like
I've
done Spider-Man so many times and I always like do Spider-Man after he's been beaten up. You know, you got to add a little bit
it's
of
like,
gore in there.
If he's been beaten up or if he's dead or...
Yeah, exactly.
If he's just been like dragged through the bushes.
Whatever you want to do, do that, but a dead version of it.
Yeah.
You know? You want to do
like
Marie Antoinette.
Like
do Marie Antoinette, but dead. Easy.
I was saying Gemma Collins or Marie Antoinette. Same thing.
Very, very different people, I feel. Okay, so those are the three rounds. Now we have to decide whether we want to go on a date with each other based on everything we've just said. So I've got a little 5-second countdown. I'm going to play it. And when it reaches zero, we have to say yes or no.
Oh, my God, of course. Sorry.
No, you have to wait.
Fuck!
You have to wait. Okay.
No, actually.
I just want to let you know, we played the speed dating game one time before.
Okay.
And I said no. So you don't just get a guaranteed yes.
But humour might... Okay,
because
sorry.
Because you're on the show. Just because you're the guest, it doesn't mean you get a free pass. Okay. Are you ready? Okay, here's the countdown. That is not the countdown. God, I've been working here for 2 years and I still can't press the right button. Where is my count? Okay, I got it. Okay, let's try again.
No.
Yes. I fucker. Why not? I think I really sold myself. Did you say no because I don't know how to push the right buttons?
It was the slutty Superman that kind of was like, I was going down the adventurous route. Yeah, I like that. I liked the nice thing that was nice.
Yeah.
You lost me on the slutty Superman.
It was Spider-Man. It wasn't Superman. That's a very different superhero. So would slutty Spider-Man work or no?
Can we retract?
No, that's absolutely valid. So, last time I said no, this time you said no. Maybe one day when I play this game, we'll get a match. All right, I think it's time for a little bit more music. Let's do something spooky. Let's do a little bit of Bloody Valentine, ooh. Kim Petras. So we listened to Bad Romance, your version, a little bit earlier on in the show.
Mm-hmm.
When can people download, listen, get this everywhere?
Friday.
Okay, and everybody should absolutely go and do
that
immediately.
Perfect song. So when you see the person that you've just had sex with. Like, and they've been in their Halloween costume all night, and you see them for the first time, you know, it's like, put Bad Romance on. It's the soundtrack of the 1st of November.
I feel like you've really thought this through.
Mm-hmm, most definitely.
This was definitely planned and not a complete coincidence.
Most definitely.
And you also have an EP releasing.
I do, yeah.
Next
all the music's
year.
Ready. It's coming out in January next year.
That's so exciting.
It's all very, very exciting. It's all new music, and it's going to be. Yeah, just very exciting. Very exciting, very surreal, very, very special for me.
And what is it called? Or can you not release that information just yet?
I'm going to leave that one a little bit mystery.
Okay.
Leave a bit of mystery, but it is really nice. And you guys should listen to it.
And will there be a little music video, perhaps?
Always, my friend. Yeah, always a music video. Yeah, I did music videos for my past two singles and they went down like pretty well. Went a bit of a hit. So, yeah. Definitely.
That's amazing. I'm so excited to hear, and we will definitely be playing it here as well. I want to talk a little bit about more about you and your thoughts about like your place within the LGBT plus community, because I feel like I know that you have some quite strong thoughts on like the kind of like the pressure and like the influencer culture and all of that. So, like, what are your, as an putting yourself out there as an LGBT plus person, what are your thoughts on like the pressures that surround that?
Oh goodness, it's always difficult when you like offload your opinions on it when other LGBT people are listening, because it's kind of like feel like they're going to like fine pick everything you say.
Yeah.
But so this is just my opinion, and I don't want to. If anything comes off offensively, I just want to apologize in advance, because it's not. I myself, what I really really struggle with is that. You're in the closet for such a long time, and you have this secret that you keep for yourself, keep from your family, your loved ones, and then you suddenly become part of this community. And like, with respect to all the Londoners, it's somehow so saturated in London, and everyone's kind of like competing with one another, kind of like striving for this unobtainable perfection, which nobody can, the perfect boyfriend, the perfect Instagram, the perfect job, the perfect eyes, the perfect body, and really it's just not realistic. And I mean, I think people are really coming around to it now, and I feel like it's kind of disintegrating, and people are kind of engaging a lot more with authenticity, being authentic. But I mean, daily, I still can, like, look at my... I would, like, contemplate or look at my Instagram, I'm like, is that kind of, like... Am I posting things because I'm doing it for my fans and my music, or am I posting it because I want to go on a date with someone? Are they going to look at me and think I look hot? Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, is it a dating app or is it a method of kind of promoting my music?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a really weird contrast, which I mean, I've initially struggled with. But as a whole, the community is really supportive of one another. And I feel like a lot of the LGBTQ plus community have really got behind my music, especially with George being attached to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have little blips. It's kind of like a more personal aspect rather than the more musical.
I think you touched on like some really important things there, though. Like, I definitely agree that I feel like there is this competition. And it's not like anyone's, you know, out there to get anyone else or be better than anyone else. But we all feel this kind of overwhelming desire to be incredible. And, I've read a lot about this and, you know, the theories that stems from growing up and not being able to be yourself. And so in your adult life, you then feel like you have to constantly strive to be the best.
Yeah.
But it is something...
To be validated.
Be validated. And I feel like, you know, I often start like saying like bad things about social media. I do love social media. Social media is my job. It's how I've grown my platform. It's how I'm able to do everything that I'm doing now. But at the same time, I do think social media is responsible for a lot of negative things as well.
Yeah.
And it's certainly, you know, I certainly feel a kickback to my mental health sometimes, and that constantly like looking at other people and being like, why is my life not as great as theirs? Why do I not have like amazing white pearly teeth or like perfect blonde hair or
and
all
now,
of these
I mean,
things?
I've been advised to post a lot more because I'm not really that present on my socials as much as I should be as a musician. But I'm really struggling with being authentic. Like I'm myself. This is just a thing I've done over the past few weeks. I'm struggling to be like authentic, and because I don't want to like. I went to Corfu for a few days. I don't want to kind of like shove it in people's faces when they were in winter that it was, I had the blue sea in front of me. Like, I don't want to kind of like have that perfect, I put the odd one up, but I don't want to have that perfect picture of me looking incredible and then put another one up. Because I mean, I've already got one up, so I don't need to put another like five.
Sure. Yeah.
But then it's kind of like, keep posting pictures. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to post? Like a picture of my shepherd's pie. Like,
yeah.
I just
It is difficult when it's genuinely a place where you want to share your life and share your life with your friends and your family and the people you really care about, whereas at the same time it's expected that you use it as a channel for promotion. And I often feel in this place where I'm like, oh, I really want to share this lovely thing that I've done, and it's like, but it doesn't really fit in with maybe my public brand, or there may be not a point to sharing it.
Yeah.
And I almost like second guess myself. So I feel like it's tricky.
Mm.
To balance.
It's so peculiar, right? And it's like not like it is spoken about, but it's just like everybody's got this kind of like hidden feeling about it themselves. That kind of like, oh my god, should I post that picture of me dancing with my towel in my bathroom? But like, I look kind of fit. And that chocolate cake that I baked last night, that looked so good. But like, always. I don't know if it fits the kind of like Louis Vuitton bag aesthetic.
Please always post the chocolate cake and always post the naked towel photo. Those two things, we need.
Honey,
them.
I'm going to do it this evening.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. That will make us all very, very happy.
And the Louis Vuitton bag, for goodness sake. Let's throw it in there at once.
I definitely have as well sometimes.
Kill three birds in one.
I definitely have where I want to like just to keep things to myself privately as well. Like I want to go to my friend's party and not post anything about it. But you know, I feel like people expect to know every detail of your life, which isn't a very interesting thing.
It's peculiar.
But I guess this is only going to grow for you as you get bigger and more people want to hear your music, want to see your life,
pop star,
become an international sensation. Which I think will absolutely happen.
Baby steps. I like your optimism. Thank
you. No, it's optimism based in reality.
You're too kind. Stop smiling at me.
To say. So what are your, obviously, support takedown at Wembley, but what are your other goals for your career?
Get that perfect picture with the Louis Vuitton bag and the chocolate cake. That's definitely something.
Okay.
But for my career, I gotcha. I know, just keep collaborating with loads of different artists, make beautiful music, hopefully get some money from it.
Yeah.
Perform, and just create some like new music, like stuff that kind of like breaks boundaries, cross genres. I don't know.
Are there any dream people you'd love to collaborate with? Aside from Gaga, I feel like that's a given.
You know what would be really cool is like Andrea Bocelli like meets Lady Gaga at once. Like, did we do like a trio together or something like that?
That would be insane.
Or kind of like Joyce DiDonato, who's on like the Royal Opera House stage. And kind of like somebody really abstract, I don't know. No, Joyce DiDonato, Elton John and me. I don't know, just like something that was like so... I mean, it's probably been done before, but... Jimmy Hanna's like going to do it again.
I like it though. I feel like you don't go for the obvious cookie cutter. You're going for, you know, trying to mix it up, trying to make it more interesting, trying to do things that haven't been
done
before.
Well, I think what Ed Sheeran did in his previous album was remarkable, and him collaborating with Andrea Bocelli and just all these kind of like cross-genre things were remarkable, and that's what made that album so kind of phenomenal. But let's do a little bit more. Jamie Hanna twist, not the Ed Sheeran one. Who's Ed Sheeran?
Well, that's incredibly exciting, and I can't wait to see what you go on to do. We are going to be reacting to our lovely listeners' sex confessions very, very shortly. Oh, so if you are listening and you'd like to send in any last-minute confessions, you can do that by emailing callum@foobarradio.com, and it's completely anonymous, so we won't read out your name on the radio or anything like that, I promise.
I'm a virgin, I've got no confession.
Yeah, same, me neither. Let's do a little bit more music. This is Graveyard.
It's crazy when the thing you love the most is the detriment. Let that sink in. I can think again. When the hand you wanna hold is a weapon and you're nothing but skin. Oh, cause I keep digging myself down deeper. I won't stop till I get where you are. I keep running, I keep running, I keep running. They say I may be making a mistake. I would have followed all the way, no matter how far. Oh, cause I keep digging myself down deeper. I won't stop till I get where you are. I keep running with both my feet hurt. I won't stop till I get where you are. Oh, when you go down all your darkest roads,
I would have followed all the way, no matter how far. Like the butterflies. Oh, cause I keep digging myself down deeper. I won't stop till I get where you are. I keep running when both my feet hurt. I won't stop till I get where you are. Oh, when you go down all your darkest roads, I would have followed all the way to the graveyard.
Now, you've already made it clear that you are Virgin Mary type.
Virgin Mary, bless you with my holy water, and do not touch me with a penis.
That is you. So, are you excited to hear these confessions?
You know,
do we need to cover your
ears? It's gonna be the best part of my day, honestly. Okay. I'm excited.
Good. I'm excited too. So, thank you so much to everyone who has sent these in. Let's just jump right in. I'm going to read the first one. I'm trans and really worried about fitting in the gay community due to recent horror stories we've heard in the press. Any advice? Well, I think the first thing I would say to that is that we need to ignore the press right now, especially when everything they're saying about trans people, it's completely fear-mongering, it's completely misleading, and I feel like the press are making it seem like everyone is against trans people and everyone hates trans people, and it just isn't the case. And I think specifically within the LGBT plus community, we are an incredibly supportive people. There's this group right now, I can't even remember what they're called, but it's basically this small, tiny, tiny, minuscule group of LGBT people who are being transphobic and don't want trans rights and want to stop trans equality, etc. But these are a very, very tiny number of people. We're talking like a dozen people who are just extremely transphobic and they just happen to be LGBT. They do not stand for the rest of the community. No. I do not know a single LGBT plus person. And to be honest, I don't know a single person in my life who is in any way transphobic. So ignore what the press are saying. Mm. Trans people belong in our community.
The press aren't believable in anything, in politics, in history.
Well, yeah, so just disregard them
just
in
disregard
general.
The press. Well, I guess what I'd probably say is find your people and kind of, if you have Instagram, kind of, I know I follow Monroe Bergdorf, and there's many kind of like activists for trans, kind of like find your group of people, find your niche, reach out to these kind of people if you feel uncomfortable. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are kind of in the same situation as yourself and are frightened. So... follow them and reach out to them and kind of connect with these people, because they'll have the same stories as you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, like in terms of dating specifically, again, I feel like there's a lot of like false information out there about saying that like gay men don't want to date trans gay men, and it's just not true. So I think, you know, it's easier said than done, but try not to worry about these things, because you belong and you fit in, and we love you, and we're fully ready to have fun. And
I mean, I told you earlier, I've only got like 5 friends, so I can have 6.
Feel like you could like maybe cut one of those friends to squeeze a new one in. Well, you've got to fit me into your life now.
I've got seven
friends. There we go. Would you like to read the next one, Jamie? It's quite an out there one.
Goodness,
I can read it if you prefer.
Yeah, can you read it?
Okay, I'll read it. As it is the end of Locktober, could you talk about chastity? I've been into it for a few years and seen it really catch on, and more gay guys especially are hearing about it. And even one straight friend asked about it. Okay, so Locktober, I believe, is where you lock yourself into like a chastity cage or chastity belt for all of October. And it's like, I think there's this massive community of people online who are like getting involved with like Locktober, and like, I think it's something like, I think this may have cropped up on my Tumblr once.
Oh my goodness. I'm so shook. I'm so like naive. I'm like living my little cardboard box. I'm like, what?
You do look a little bit frightened over there. A little bit out of your depth, perhaps.
I told you I'm virgin.
I think chastity is really interesting and really, really cool. And I have a lot of friends who are into it. I even got one of my friends gave me a chastity cage on my birthday once. So I do have one sitting in my bathroom cupboard. Or maybe I'm doing Locktober. Maybe I'm wearing it now. Mm. You would never know. You would never know.
I'm gonna suck on this lollipop.
But no, I think it's really cool, and I really love that. I feel like things like this are things that would be hidden and underground before, and I feel like we're finally getting to a point where people are more open to talking about this. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to sit down with my mum and be like, let's talk about chastity cages. But, like, just at a dinner party or, yeah, like, maybe
yeah,
not.
After a few glasses of wine.
After a few glasses of wine.
Apple juice, if you're not. But anything. It's just let it flow and have a little chit-chat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have a dialogue.
I feel like there's a lot of, there can be a lot of shame surrounding, like, certain sexual practices and fetishes, etc. And I really want to break that down. Like, I think people are into all kinds of crazy things, and it's something we should support and celebrate.
Yeah, most definitely.
So if anyone listening is indeed taking part in Locktober, write in and tell us, for a start, callum@foobarradio.com. But, like, good for you.
Is it like Lock November? Like,
Lock November. It's not as catchy. No,
Lock
as
December.
Locktober. Lock. It doesn't no, quite work. You no, have to wait till October next year if you've not got involved already. Okay, let's move on to the next one. I've been locked. Oh, wait. No, is this more information? I feel like, oh, God, there's more information here that I completely missed. Shall I read it? Yeah, aww, let's read it. Okay. Okay. So this is the lovely person who wrote in about Locktober. And I completely missed this bit. I've been locked for 22 days and it has really pulled me out of my shell and dating anxiety and boosted my sex drive, which is normally very low. And then they go, yeah, I'm not going to read the rest. It gets asked very personal questions about my life that I do not wish to answer. But that, I think that's really cool that, you know, it's brought this person out of their shell. And
yeah, you do you, honestly.
Yeah, and boosting the sex drive, if your sex drive is normally low, I think you've found the solution. So keep doing what you're doing. Definitely working.
Mine is just to eat lots of oysters, you know.
Does that actually work? Because, like, I love an oyster, but I don't really feel sexy after eating one. I feel like it's not very sexy. The way you eat it is not very sexy. Okay, next one. I'm a diehard lesbian, and when I comment on women's posts on social media, their partners get their backs up or the girls stop interacting so much with me. They think I'm hitting on them. How can I overcome this? I'm just paying them a compliment like anyone else. I feel like this is... I kind of relate to this. Like, I am, like, really nice and over the top, like, when I'm, like, leaving comments on people's posts. So I would, like, have, like, a friend I'm really close to, and I'm not, like, attracted to them at all, but they'll post a picture up and I'll be like, put like drooling emojis and things like that, because it's just my way of
it's like witty
being supportive. I'm like, you look amazing, you look incredible.
Aubergine one up as well.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't actually want to have sex with
you.
Yeah,
no, of course.
You can usually tell if I want to have sex with somebody on Instagram, because I won't be leaving those thirsty comments. I'll be like, this is a cool pic, XO.
You know. Dear Anonymous, I find you very attractive.
Yeah, exactly.
Sending best wishes. Callum, kiss,
yeah,
kiss.
I get very awkward if I have a crush on a person.
Don't we all like pee our pants, do a little dribble.
Little dribble. Oh, keeps coming back to the little dribble.
It does.
I feel like that's our thing now. We could be like dribble brothers.
I kind of need a little dribble now, I'm not going to lie.
A little dribble dribble.
All this tea.
Well, we've only got 7 minutes left of the show, Jamie, so hang on.
Oh, goodness.
Suppress the urge. So yeah, I relate. Do you have any advice for this person? This diehard lesbian, as she put it herself.
Maybe just, I don't know how many comments you are doing on other women's posts a day, but maybe just like stop it a little bit and just kind of see how the engagement is, and then just kind of like, yeah, just alter how you're posting, maybe a little bit, but still be you. I wouldn't kind of like stop posting if you find them.
It would make me really sad if she was like, oh, this is such a lovely picture, you look beautiful, and then people are like, stop hitting on her when you're just being supportive. That would, I think, in a way, I feel like it's a little bit homophobic.
Yeah,
a tiny
it is.
Bit.
Maybe just be careful with the adjectives you use. I don't know.
Yeah, if you're saying like, oh my God, you look sexy, you look fire, my panties wet, maybe that's not appropriate.
Oh, you got me running to the bathroom.
I mean, those are the comments that I leave, but you know. I think we probably have time for one more. Just broke up from a 2-year relationship and feeling like a whole new person. Had sex the other day and it was shit, but I don't care because it was sex. My ex didn't sleep with me for the last 6 months. That's amazing. Congrats on having sex again after your dry spell. We're very happy and pleased for you. Yeah, good for you feeling like a whole new person. I mean, I think people see breakups as a negative thing too much.
Mm.
And obviously, like, breakups are painful and they hurt and they suck. But at the same time, it's a new chance to try something new. Put yourself out there.
Mm.
Have sex again, which you're doing now, which is amazing.
Phenomenal.
So,
really,
you know,
phenomenal. I always feel like a whole new person when I have a roast dinner. You know, that's, that's fulfilling enough for me.
I would like a roast dinner. I've not had a roast dinner in a while. Yeah, I love a
roast
dinner.
All advocate of all the new sex. When you break up, go have all the sex, kind of explore and
go live your life. Go,
especially if you've been having a dry spell, that wouldn't have been the best.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
So have less dry and make it wet again.
Jamie, that brings us right up to the end of the show.
So sad.
I know.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you very much.
It's been amazing to have you here. So remind us again about all the incredible things you're doing. Bad Romance, your new Lady Gaga cover, comes out Friday.
On Friday, it does indeed.
November 1st.
It does indeed. And I'll be having... I'm going on tour next March. I'm not going to let you know who with, but it's all very, very exciting.
Exciting.
As well. And yeah, EP in January. And if you want to keep posted on it, follow me on Instagram. It's just Jamie Hanna. Twitter, just Jamie Hanna. Facebook, just Jamie Hanna. That's with the just. Yeah, I didn't really think that through.
You just made it really confusing.
Just Jamie Hanna. And it's palindromic. H-A-N-N-A-H. Some people forget the H on the end.
Okay, well, I'm super, super... Have you got a January date for us?
Or for is it EP?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
Okay, so it's sometime in January.
I like being very elusive.
From New Year's Day, I'm going to be sitting braced and ready.
Steady on.
Just refreshing. Like,
just
come on.
Just be careful. Ugh.
Like, come on, where is it? I'm ready for
you're
it.
Too sweet.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show, and everybody should follow you on your journey. And, you know, you're already doing amazing things and absolutely killing it out there.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, everyone should go follow you. Everyone should give you all the love in the world. And hopefully it continues to go well.
Oh, you're too kind. Thank you.
And happy Halloween, by the way, everyone.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. We'll see you later.
Used to wait for you all night. Every tear I would cry, burn my eyes. Now something's coming over me. The blood is rushing to my head. And when the moon comes out, I'm rising from the dead. I finally feel alive. I'm taking back the night.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.